Good morning, everyone. So we're beginning our continuing in our Frontline Sunday series, and it would be really helpful if you turn to that first reading from Colossians, page 1184 of the Pew Bibles, 1184. And let me pray for us. There's some great words in this passage about what we do as we gather right now. So, Lord God, we pray that as we gather this morning, the peace of Christ would rule and the word of Christ would dwell in us richly. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. How is your urban slang? Or your teenage text speak. Do you still think that LOL means lots of love? Or have you finally grasped that it stands for laughing out loud? I hope we are all clear on that one this morning. So here's another one. If you message the young person in your life, to say, don't forget to be back home for your sister's birthday tea. And they reply, next slide, WTV. What do they mean? Yes, someone has said at the back, whatever. Whatever. And whatever in this sense is an expression of total indifference. I could not care less about my sister's birthday party. It makes no difference to me. Our theme this morning, as we continue in this sermon series, Frontline Sundays, thinking about living for God on our front line, our theme this morning is whatever. Whatever you do. Johan, just keep it on the blank slide. Last week we thought about wherever you are. Next week we're thinking about whoever you are. This morning we're thinking about whatever you do. And of course we're not using whatever in the sense that I've just described of total indifference. Who cares? Makes no difference to me. Lack of interest. But it occurred to me that we have often fallen into this way of thinking when we think about how God views much of our life. What does God think? Whatever. He's not really interested. And at the risk of repetition for what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks, we have often fallen into the trap of having a sacred and a secular divide in our thinking that is both unhelpful and unhealthy. Now, it's wrong to exaggerate how much we think that way. We do know, of course, I hope we know that God is interested in all of our lives. But there is often a sense in which we feel he is especially interested in the sacred things, church and ministry, by which we mean events and initiatives and meetings that we do with other Christians, our prayer life, our family life, and occasional opportunities that we get for evangelism with friends or colleagues. But for what we spend most of our weeks doing, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, 8 to 6, whatever, God is not that interested. Our passage this morning has two whatevers in it. If you look at it with me, the passage is in two halves. In the first half, verses 15 to 17 of chapter 3, Paul is describing mainly what the church does when it is gathered together for corporate worship, their church meetings, like our meeting this morning. When you are together, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell. Verse 16 again, worship with psalms and hymns and songs. And then verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do. And then verse 18 onwards, the second half of the passage, the focus changes. And Paul is describing how Christians are to live when they are scattered in the week, when they're back home. It talks about family relationships and then the workplace. There are instructions to slaves and instructions to masters. And in the middle of that, verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Two whatevers. When you were gathered and when you were scattered. When you come together for worship and when you go out into the world. Whatever you do, do it for the Lord. It matters to God. He is not indifferent to certain areas of your life or sections of your week. And I'd like to think just a little bit more deeply about this for a couple of minutes. Once again, I don't want to exaggerate our perception of this sacred-secular divide in our Christian lives. Of course, most of us, hopefully all of us, know that our whole lives matter to God. I'm sure most of us have prayed about our work, our different responsibilities during the week. We've probably prayed for work when we're out of it. Or we've prayed for help when we're finding work difficult or we're stressed. Lord, help me with the meeting I've got this morning, with the task I've got ahead of me. I'm sure we all do this. But what we're not so good at thinking about is how our workplace itself matters to God. How what we actually do is significant in his purposes. It does matter. And for two reasons, not from this passage, these two, but from a bigger Bible picture, our work matters to God because of, firstly, simply the dignity of work. Work is good in God's eyes. It's not a necessary evil. No matter how much after a bad day in the office, that may be exactly how you feel work is. It's not a necessary evil. It is good. Right at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, after the creation of men and women and before the fall, God said, off you go to work. Or in his exact words, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over my creation. And of course, because we now live in a fallen world, all work is tainted with sin. Everything is marred. Everything is spoilt. We know that. But fundamentally, work is good. We need government and industry and law and education and healthcare and transport and services and arts and entertainment. These are gifts from God. They are necessary. We do them with dignity. Now, that's not to say, of course, that all work is inherently good. Can you be a Christian strip club owner? No, just in case you were thinking. Can you be a Christian arms dealer? We are to think about our work and the part that it plays in God's purposes for human flourishing, his intentions for society. And let me take a local example. A significant number of the Synex congregation do or have worked for AWE. I can look out here actually and see a number of you who have or do work for AWE, the Atomic Weapons Establishment. It's a large, very large local employer. And that will be, or it should be, because they have decided as Christians that in this fallen world, atomic weapons are necessary, are effective, have been effective to keep peace. I went on the homepage of AWE this week, and right on the homepage we have a critical mission to support the defence and security of the UK. We deliver nuclear warheads for the UK's deterrent and use our expertise to support national security. So a Christian working at AWE will have decided that this work, their contribution to it, it's a big work, is good. It's valuable. It's vital. Now, not every Christian would agree with that, and there can be legitimate disagreement, but the one thing we cannot say about work, about any work, is that God is indifferent. Whatever makes no difference to me what you do with your weeks. There is dignity and there is value and importance to our work in the purposes of God in this world. And Paul says to slaves in this passage, household servants working in a very fallen system, in their case without really much choice at all about their employment, he says to them, verse 23, whatever you do, do it as working for the Lord. So work matters because of the dignity of work. And it matters too because of mission in the world. It is the front line. That's our series, Front Line. It is where mission happens out there. We gather here together on a Sunday for corporate worship and fellowship and teaching and encouragement and prayer. And we are scattered out there into the workplace for work, for mission on the front line. And that leads me on to the two brief things that I want to say from this passage. Paul says two things. Whatever you do, firstly, do it all in the name. And secondly, do it with all of your heart. All in the name, with all your heart. So firstly, do it all in the name. Verse 17, have another look at verse 17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The context here, as I've said, is the church gathering for worship in their meetings together. But as Paul comes to the end of this section, he seems to already be looking beyond, further ahead, to everything we say and everything we do, and we are to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. To do something in someone else's name is to be their representative. It is to speak and to act on their behalf and for their cause. It is to be their ambassador. And these are all the ways that we are to think of ourselves, wherever we are. Whatever we do, we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are his representatives in the world. We speak and act for his cause. And again, this gives such a sense of dignity and responsibility to what we do. I do this, whatever it is, all in his name. I teach a class, I run a meeting, I price a job, I bathe a patient, I line manage a colleague, I care for a neighbor, I raise a family, all in the name of the Lord Jesus, his representative, his ambassador out on the front line. Just speaking personally, I have found this series, this Frontline Sundays series, such a helpful challenge and an encouragement to me. You see, as a vicar, while you, the congregation, head off to the front line each week, it can often feel as if I'm in the back office. hidden away where it's all a bit safer. Do you remember Blackadder Goes Forth? The World War I in the trenches, and General Melchett, he's getting his soldiers ready for the big push out on the front, and he's giving them a little speech, and he says, "If you should falter, remember that Captain Darling and I are right behind you." And Blackadder says, "About 35 miles behind you." And it can sometimes feel like that as a vicar. I'm not saying it's a cushy life, being a vicar, but it is easy to be insulated. And I've been encouraged and challenged in the last 2 weeks to think about my front lines, the people and the places where especially I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ, his representative there in his name, and the places and the situations where I am perhaps his only representative. I don't mean on the staff team, don't worry. But the places that I find myself, the meetings that I will be in, and I've been looking for opportunities and praying for courage. There was a moment last week where I thought, in this situation, there is an opportunity that is only for me. I can't leave it to anyone else. It's my play, so to speak. And as I literally walked towards it, I was thinking to myself, I do this in Jesus' name, his ambassador. And my prayer, our prayer for this series, is that we would all be looking for and praying for opportunities on the front line and asking for courage to walk towards them. Whatever you do, firstly, do it all in the name. And secondly, do it with all your heart. Verses 22 and 23. Slaves, verse 22, obey your earthly masters in everything. Do it not only when the eye is on you, but with sincerity and heart and reverence for the Lord. Verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. How do you react to this image of the front line that we're using? For some, perhaps, it's a negative image. It's the language of war. It's the place where we engage with the enemy. And that perhaps can be negative. Although the Bible is very clear that the Christian life lived properly will be a battle. And sometimes the workplace will feel like a battlefield. And not just after a bad day in the office, but where the culture is toxic, or where we have to confront practices that we consider to be unjust or immoral, or where simply it is hard to live as a Christian and live out Christian values. We may feel lonely and isolated or exposed. It's a battle. And it requires courage and wholehearted commitment. But the image of the front line is not only from the world of war, that the front line is used in any organization or activity to refer to those who are engaged directly and most closely with the purposes of that organization and the people it serves. In a hospital, the front line staff are the nurses and the doctors, the receptionists at accident and emergency, the porters who greet the ambulances as they come in. And again, these jobs on the front line require courage, a commitment, keeping a cool head in a stressful situation. You won't get far if you are half-hearted. And for the church, the front line is where you are Monday to Saturday, and it takes courage and wholehearted commitment. How do we keep going? Verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Now, it's true there are some jobs where perhaps it is easier to see the link between what we do and serving Christ in others. It is perhaps easier to say, let's say, for a carer to bathe a patient and to see their task as service, as an accountant filing a tax return. It's a bit harder to see the link always. And yet Paul says to slaves doing the most ordinary of tasks, often for the most unworthy masters, whatever you do, work it with all your heart as working for the Lord. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So we're going to watch a video. See if you can see the film. If you've been here for the last couple of weeks, you'll have been getting to know the different characters in this series. It's a video and a prayer as it goes along. So, yeah, and if you'd press play.
Father, help me do good today.
I want to shape this place to your design.
Help me see the value my work has to you.
May I model your kindness and patience.
So that you are recognised.
Yeah, good.
May they know Jesus through my presence.
May they see your light as I share mine.
Give me your joy and self-control.
So that your warmth touches those I meet.
Help me to be generous.
Quick to put others first.
Sharing clearly your love and grace.
Give me words to speak about you.
And courage to stand for justice and truth.
Whatever the day brings.
In my humanity, weakness, breakthrough.
Let my life overflow with you.
As we finish, I'd like you to look at the end of your pews and you will find some red dots. There should be enough for everyone. If your pew has run out, then look for a neighbouring pew. And also there are some pens. You need a dot and a pen, or access to a pen, a neighbour who will lend you their pen when they've finished writing. If you haven't got a red dot, then wave a hand. I've got some spares here. And I would like you to write on this dot. We're going to be quiet for a few minutes. I'd like to write on this dot something that describes your front line. Now, that might be a place, a school or a company, a building or a street. It might be people and names of those around you that you serve. It might be a prayer for boldness and opportunities in a particular situation. Don't write anything personal on it, because during communion, I'm going to ask you to bring this up. And we're going to put them in bowls near the communion stations. And then next week, we're going to put them on a big display, as we think about the places that we're scattered to, our front lines. Paul writes this on the slide behind me in Romans 12. Here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. So I'm going to leave a few moments just as we Write something on this that represents our front line that we'll bring up as we come to communion later on in the service. Let me pray for us. Let's pray. Father, help us do good this week. We want to shape this place to your design. Help us to see the value our work has to you. May we model your kindness and patience so that you are recognized. May they know Jesus through our presence. May they see your light as we share ours. Give us your joy and self-control so that your warmth touches those we meet. Help us to be generous, quick to put others first, sharing clearly your love and grace. Give us words to speak about you and courage to stand for justice and truth. Whatever the week ahead brings, in our humanity and weakness, break through. Let our lives overflow with you. Amen.